welcome to this week's podcast. It's a special one. This is the Wembley podcast. We're all looking forward to a lovely trip this weekend, going down to the Old Smoke to see the Latics tackle Millwall. Anyway, around the table this evening, we've got several quite upbeat gents. Are we all right, people?
Yes,
very good also.
Yeah, you sound really upbeat. That's not worked, has it? But I understand where you're coming from, actually, because before we get on to the Wembley stuff, we've got to review last Sunday's game against QPR. And it was a game with some strange stats in a way, because we were the away side, and yet we had 16 attempts on goal to their 6. 10 of which were on target, which is a bit strange for us. And also we had 58% possession. But bearing in mind they were down to 10 men after, was it 25 minutes? Zamora, Bobby Zamora.
Can I just question this, the collation of statistics, please? Because how can a shot that hits the post not be counted as on target?
Because it was off target.
Is it not on target, is it?
But if it is the post,
I thought it was on target.
No. Well, then if it's the post and was in, it's on target. If it's the post and comes
out, what is the target?
The target is
getting the ball behind the line.
Between the goals.
That space.
Between the sticks.
I've always thought that's what the stats came to then.
There's a special algorithm they use to work it out.
Yeah, if it was going to go between the sticks, it's on target. If it wasn't, it's not.
The envelopes go out with tape measures.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, anyway, Mick, thanks for that. Tripping us up right at the beginning.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, all right.
Well, I thought it wasn't the highest quality game, but it was an intriguing contest. We've got two teams down at the bottom battling it out, and just for that alone, I think it was worth watching. Sunday, tea time. Worthy pick for Sky TV, I think.
I think you've got to, I don't like saying it on a Wigan podcast, but you've got to credit QPR. It was their last chance saloon, that game. You know, if they're not getting anything from that game, they're not getting anything for the season, are they? That was their chance. That was their chance to do something, and they put everything into the game. And some of the players played very well, in truth. So, it was a tough game for Wigan.
I think
we got a draw into it.
To add to that, the way we got the draw, giving them an awful lot of belief of a fantastic performance with 10 men, to suddenly have them smacked in the knackers and end up with just taking a single point, that's them dead.
Yes,
absolutely. Bumph.
They were dead before, is what I thought. Yeah. Anyway, but
I think if you're looking at the quality of the football in the game, you've got to come to the conclusion that now you know why both teams are in the bottom three, sadly, because that was reflected in the way the game was played. I think it was like watching two schoolboy teams at times. I think the quality of the play was dire in patches, really bad.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't a great game. Thought we dominated the early stages. I think the sending off didn't really help us, to be honest. I thought we still had a lot of the ball in the first half without creating any sort of real cutting edge chances. Must say as well, I thought the pitch was terrible condition, and people's first touch was a bit off a few times. And then we just couldn't really break them down. I thought second half was a really poor showing. And then they bit us on the break with a sucker punch, hadn't they? And then Maloney's dragged one back at the full, virtually on the full-time whistle, which Paul said, I think it's really going to kick them in the nads, isn't it? I think they're definitely gone, which is another positive thing, really. So I suppose fight it out for that last relegation spot.
Yeah, and it's the mental thing as well, I think. I mean, they may not be mathematically relegated, but in their heads, they're probably thinking...
Well, that's the thing.
Yeah, they're not.
They got all excited because they were getting the 3 points, and there you go, have some of that.
Mm. I thought we went back a few months, really. You know, like when we played Stoke, and we were just awful until they scored, and then we just woke us up and did it on quite a quicker basis. But, you know, obviously we dominated the game due to the 10, you know, them having 10 men, but we just seemed to get to the box and panic a bit, you know.
Well,
it's a bit frustrating, isn't it?
I don't think it was panic. I think it was just patience. Mm. You know, I think they just believed that at some point they were going to score, and therefore there was no urgency to try and score. Because think, yeah, if we don't score, I don't know, we'll get one later on.
The one thing that frustrated me was,
and it was just slow. Yeah, it's the
same sort of thing we saw against Bradford, isn't it?
Yeah.
The most frustrating thing for me was the short set pieces. You know, there's too many short corners, short free kicks. One of that was what led to their goal, ironically, as well. And it just doesn't put the danger in the box. Yeah, fair enough, throw one in every now and then, but we were doing it every time. And I thought they got wind of that and they closed us down well there. So
apparently Martinez was absolutely livid with them, and I think when the shit, that's the reaction that's needed. Otherwise, you will go down, don't you? So when it's bad, say it's bad, and I think that's what it, from the impression I got. But not only Martinez, Maloney apparently, somebody caught him coming out of the dressing room going onto the team coach, and he was just swearing and shouting at players as he was walking. He was that et up with it. Which is
it's good.
A real positive sign, isn't it?
I think
they're coming off angry.
It's frustration. So they weren't terrible in a way, were they? Because if they were terrible, we'd have got battered. You know, we had a lot of the ball. You know, we capitalised on the 10th men. We just weren't clinical. It's just a missed opportunity, as it were. 3 points were on the table.
If we'd have scored 5 minutes after Zamora had gone off, we'd have won that game with 3-4.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'd have had to come out then.
Well, we'd have scored one, we'd have scored two, No matter at what point in the game.
Well, we'd have scored.
We always scored from a set piece, though, because that was the problem on the day, was we lacked penetration into the box. We kept the ball, we played around with the ball. You've completely frozen that one. I'm going to stick another one in there as well. No, we were passing about with the ball on the edge of the box. It was pretty passive, but we were maintaining possession. But we weren't getting anywhere with it.
Let's hope it's out of our system. Let's hope it was a Swansea game from last year. And we're out of our system and we pick up again and move on.
What was the difference in the side what played on Sunday to the side what played against Everton?
We had an extra man.
Two goals. Right. One less conceded.
And what was the difference in the style of play?
Teams go through that, though. Well, the pitch for Stoke is a lot narrower at QPR than it is at Goodison Park, isn't it? So the play was more condensed.
And the condition of the pitch, made a difference. That's it. You can't, on that sort of pitch, it was. You could see how difficult some of the players were finding it to control the ball, especially Figueroa in the first half at all. His first touch was shocking at times. I mean, I'm not trying to say it was all the pitch, but that did play a massive difference. You don't see top Premier League players ball flying away 5 yards when they're trying to control the ball virtually every pass.
Can I be a bit positive? I think it's quite good that we've got 7 points from 3 games, and I don't think we're playing that well in either of the three.
Well,
so, yeah.
If you go back a couple of weeks when we were lining these games up, there was a thing that it came up that we say if we want to get 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, and beat Millwall, you're looking at a hell of a run there, and somewhere in that you're going to drop something. You know, there's no way we were going to put a run together that good without dropping something.
Both sides are coming in on good form. I was checking Millwall's form. They had a good stinker because they lost their two, I know we'll come on to this later, but they lost their two strikers and then they've got on a run. But no, same as us, we've had an unbeaten run, and like you said, something was going to give. We come to one, four or five games.
The point I was going on to make was if you want something to give, you've took points off Newcastle, you've took 4 points off Norwich, so you're keeping them in sight. You give QPR, you drop points to QPR. It's the best place for us to drop points, because realistically they're not going to be challenging us. At the same time, as Rob said, you give them a kick in the knackers right at the end. It'll do for me. I mean, it wasn't the greatest of game, but overall, if you consider it in the context of the games around it, it will do.
We've won five of the last seven.
Yeah, well, there you go.
It would have been nice to have been out of the bottom three, though, wouldn't it, come this weekend? Because well, I do. I do. I want it all. Well, I want it now.
Of course, in the final, he's still not bloody
Because I can't see Stoke beating United. Not Stoke.
Yeah, Stoke.
Sunderland was the one I was thinking of. I can't see Sunderland going to Newcastle and winning. So we'd have been above them. And come Monday, we'd have still been above them, which would have been going into the City game, out the bottom three, and gives us a good
well, I think the other thing
incentive
to, that
to look for a point.
Yeah.
If United beat Stoke, it puts Stoke in more trouble, and it also gives, you know, City had a bit of a lift by beating United. There might be some one or two people thinking they can dream they can catch United, but if United beat Stoke, they're still 15 points behind going into that game, and it's, you know, they're going into our game thinking, well, we just played till the end of the season here.
Got final hopefully rehearsal. That's what it is.
We can sting them.
A talking point from the QPR game was the Zamora incident. I've seen it on some places. Doyle's coming from looking a bit of stick over it. I'm not saying what for yet, and just see what people think round the table.
The timing of his decision.
Definite red card.
And giving, because he played on, didn't he, straight away to start with, and then
he had a well bit of line. Was good though, because he consulted his wife.
Yeah, he did.
He did well.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure, so you don't just make a snap decision.
Credit where credit's due.
Did well.
It was a correct decision.
you can see the lines on the television guy. He said it's red card.
There was another terrible. There was a terrible challenge on Gomez. I thought that was potential red card.
I think that was the worst challenge.
It was. Yeah, it was.
He got away with it because he kept his trailing foot on the floor. If that foot was slightly up, he'd have gone.
It was a terrible challenge,
wasn't it? Why did they get stick then?
Wasn't that the free kick from which they scored, though?
No. Because they were saying that he hadn't actually given the sending off. It had come from the fourth official. Well, actually, I thought he was bollocks anyway.
He was speaking to the linesman at one point, and then it looked like he walked straight over from the linesman to Zamora.
Because he shouted it, Bobby.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
You've gone some.
Yeah.
And,
so if they've got the technology and they're using it, then, let's announce it.
They used it in the World Cup final when Zidane did that thing. Yeah. That was the fourth official, TV monitor.
But Zamora, because you could literally read what he said, but I never touched him. But I think the kids' reaction behind said it all, didn't it, with their head in their hands and they had the rest of it.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so keep your eyes out of the way now. That's it. That's done and dusted. Brilliant. They're down. And Reading are down. So, what's the latest odds, Gareth?
The latest relegation odds. Reading are favourites, 66-1 on.
On?
Yes, to be relegated.
Queen's
Park Rangers are 25-1 on to be relegated.
Ooh.
Next in the betting are Sunderland, not us.
Right.
Sunderland are 6-4, Wigan are 2-1, Villa 3-1, and Stoke City are 7-1 to be relegated.
Ooh. That's not a bad odds, is it? That's not a bad odds. Because they've got quite a difficult run in Stoke.
Yeah.
They are. That's a difficult run in. Do you know who they've got?
I know they've got Sunderland,
they've got.
Now everybody's been turning around and saying about it's going to be down to the wire, Wigan against Villa. I think actually come the day we'll be looking at two other clubs fighting in 10th upstairs, not us.
Yeah.
And I think the one what you just said there now,
Stoke and Sunderland.
Yeah. Probably if that's their last fixture of the season, it possibly could be the other one.
Got Rose Stoke down.
Yeah, and Gareth didn't write Stokes down, so it shows you how quickly. But it shows you how quickly their fortunes have changed, doesn't it?
It does.
From being totally out of the picture only a couple of weeks ago to being smacking it.
Because about a month ago we were talking about teams could still fall into this, and
more
than we could have hoped, I think, have fallen back into it.
Every season there's
one. The thing is, there's teams with five games left, isn't there? And you lose three, maybe win one, pick up a draw. You've got to be on 35. Points already to go in with that run and still be reasonably sort of safe.
What do we think will keep you up this season? 37?
No,
it's always more than what you expect.
I think you're looking at 40. I really do. I think you're going to need
38, 39, 40.
I think QPR and Reading are going to take some points off people. Well, QPR maybe.
They're not taking any off us because we don't play either of them.
That's a 39.
And hopefully we've not played for a while yet as well.
Well, before the weekend's fixtures, if you looked at it, Swansea were on 39. Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sorry. I think Swansea were on 40. And then everybody else, there was only something like about a 7-point difference between about 9 clubs.
Mm.
Yeah. Like I say, if you're only a few games left, you don't need to go on a horrendous run, do you, to get caught. You just need to lose 3 games and suddenly you're right deep in the mix.
We're going to move on now. During the week, I managed to get myself down to the ZW Stadium and I met one of our former gaffers, Ray Mathias, a really interesting man, and I had a good chat with Ray. And what I'd like us to do is just listen to the interview now and then we'll discuss what he said afterwards. Right, we're here at the Wigan Athletic Supporters Club in the South Stand Bar, and lo and behold, stood at the side of me is a former manager, Ray Mathias. How are you doing, Ray?
I'm fine, thank you, yes.
Brilliant stuff. So, coming back here, does it bring any memories back for you?
It certainly does. I think, our times at Springfield Park when I was manager, 1986 to 89, and also 98-99 season, which brings lots of memories back, not only reaching the playoffs on two occasions, but coming to Wembley, which was a fantastic achievement.
that was the auto-win screens, weren't it?
That was the auto-win screens trophy, in 1999, April 1999, I think it was, or March.
But it was our opponents that day, has it slipped my mind? It was our opponents.
It was Millwall. Millwall, believe it or not. It's a coincidence, isn't it? You know that you come up against a team which you played many years ago and beat, and hopefully it's going to be the same result.
Hopefully it is. Yeah. And I remember your time in charge of Wigan with great fondness. A lot of people look back on that and say it was one of the best styles of play that we ever had. You know, it's very similar, I feel, to how Roberto has a set-up now, because we used to play with the wing-backs, didn't we?
Yes.
When we had Sharpie and Gavin Johnson and overlapping all the time, and it was brilliant football. And I always thought you was ahead of the time with it, you know, the systems that we used to fit up, because everybody's doing it today in the Premier League, and it's like 20-odd years later.
Exactly, you know, I think you look at the set-up, which we had was 3-4-2-3, and it's amazing, you know, and the way the players adapted to it, we changed it actually, because our results were up very, very much up and down. And John Benson said to me one day, "Have you ever thought of changing it?" I said, "Well, yeah, you know, it's changing the system," and you know, so we did. We changed it, and it worked wonders for us. We went the first game we adapted and had to change was Notts County away, and we got a great result 2-0. So we went on from there and just built on it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Simon Oath came in, didn't he? And Andy Little came in that season, and Stuart Bell obviously up front, and they were on fire, their forward line, weren't they?
Well, I think if you look at the three, you know, we played Andy behind Simon Howth and Stuart Barlow, and I think three of them, if you look at the goals what they scored, I think Stuart Barlow's got 35, Simon Howth got 20 odd, and Andy Little also got 20 odd, you know. So, you know, there in itself is three fantastic players to have on your side.
Yeah, and each one were capable of playing at a high level. I believed at that time they had the quality to do that.
Well, definitely so. I think I paid quite a bit of money for Simon, you know, and Andy. I bought Andy as well, Andy Little from Barnsley. And, you know, so they're very, very good signings for a football club. And, you know, we're on a good run. We got to the playoffs that season, and it was a good end of the season.
The end of Gorter did us, didn't it?
Well, I think you look at the goals, what Gorter scored against us, you know, they were incredible goals, and that was the first one he got was a ball got over his head and on the edge of the box, and he's volleyed it from there, and I think that was the equaliser at Springfield Park. And then to knock the ball in with your arm to Man City was a killer blow for us, especially.
It was. But things like that happen in football, don't they, and it's all part and parcel of the game.
Well, we know it's a hard job. We keep criticising referees and linesmen, and it's a hard job to do, you know.
I wouldn't like to do it.
You know what you do in training with the players, and it's very difficult, you know, trying to get a decision right with them, but it's a hard job, but you get on with it, you know. You accept results at decisions, and you've got to get on with it.
Yeah, and here we are from 99 up to 2013, nearly said 2003 then, up to 2013, we're back at Wembley. And what do you see our chances? Do you think we've got a chance of getting to the final?
Well, I think there's not many times we're going to be favourites, I think, in the Premier League, certainly. And I think this coming Saturday, they're going to be favourites,
yeah.
I would say. I've seen them quite a few times this season. I've seen them a lot last season. And, you know, how they built and played. And, again, as you say, they changed the system. Went to a three at the back and a four, again, like similar system was from what we played. And it's worked wonders for them, you know, and hopefully they had a great result last season, you know, and if they can get them results what they did last season, they'll stay up.
Yeah, definitely. And the only sort of worry at the moment is if the cup's going to affect the league form in any way. Do you see it as affecting it in a negative or perhaps even a positive way?
I think it can only be positive, you know. I think it must have been disappointing for them on Sunday against Queen's Park Rangers, you know, just reading some of the reports, you know, on the players, what they're thinking of themselves, you know, how disappointed they were with their own performances. You know, they'll be going to Wembley to pick themselves up and get going again, you know, and whatever side Roberto picks, you know, I'm sure they're going to go out and give it 110%, you know, more than anything, you know. And I think it's gonna be a squad, you know, go to Wembley and play, and hopefully, I'm not saying everyone will get a game, but majority of the squad will get a game.
Yeah, and just the last word, Ray, what are you up to these days? What
well,
you doing?
I'm just doing a bit for Leeds United. I've been doing that. I tried to go and help Stockport County about 18, 19 months ago to stay in the league, but unfortunately, we're too far behind when I went there, you know. But it's a smashing little club like Wigan.
It's a great club, you know, and they've got
a good fan base like Wigan have, you know, and you know, it's clubs like that will keep the Football League going.
Well, thank you very much for that.
No problem, great talking to you. Lovely, cheers. Thank you.
Right, that was Ray Mathias. Lovely chatting to you last night. What a gentleman. Reminiscing there about not only about the Freight Rover, even further back in time, the Otto Windshields against Millwall back in 1999. I've got the bugs tonight. But also about the City game. I know that you were there, mate, weren't you, for that game?
Yeah, I remember it. We was in a makeshift stand for some apparent reason. I can't remember why we did that. Why that had happened?
But Main Road.
At Main Road, and it wasn't a nice experience actually going to the ground on that night. I remember that as well. Yeah. It was a bit. There was all sorts of stuff happening.
But it was a gentleman, Ray, wasn't it? A gentleman, and he got sacked after that game.
Well, this is it. Feed the goat and he will
score. He was an handball.
Yes, the hand of goat.
The hand of goat.
That's it. Thank you very much for nicking me punchline there. Sorry.
Also, though, Rob, I was talking to him about the formations, and the one that we use now was very similar to what we used to play back then, with the attacking wing backs and how we set everything up.
Yeah.
And I remember when he did get sacked after that City game, one of the reasons Whelan gave was that he was too defensive. And I thought it was quite the opposite, because they were a fantastic attacking side.
Ray Mathias is one of my sort of favourite all-time Wigan managers. I thought we played some tremendous football under Ray, and I thought it's one of the most harsh sackings, especially at our club. I've never seen a more harsh sacking. I thought we played good football. We got in the playoffs that season, won the Otto Windscreens. It was a successful season, and it was only due to poor refereeing decisions that we never got to the playoff final.
No, and the last 2 weeks of the season with 7 games, and the last 15 days we played seven games that season.
But you can't be defensive and get so far and get to playoffs if you're in a defensive side, can you?
No.
And unfortunately, in those two legs, Wigan did not perform as well as they should have done.
But with suspensions, injuries, and they were all knackered as well. And there was a bad ref.
Well, it's funny, really, because Ray alluded to the fact that the referee apologised to him sometime afterwards.
He
himself turned around and said, well, it's a bit too late now, because it cost me my job.
Anyway, that was Ray Mathias, and a big thanks, Ray, for joining us on this week's podcast. Okay then, so we've got the big game coming our way on Saturday. Millwall, they're not in town, we're in their town, but we're not at their ground. Previously, we played Millwall 20 times. The first one coming back in 1935, when Gregor Morris... I've seen something you've written.
Yeah, us lost 4-1, unfortunately. At Springfield Park.
What league were we in at the time?
We just won the Cheshire League, reigning Cheshire League champions were that season.
And we were a brand new club as well, weren't we? We'd only been in existence three years.
3 years, but yeah. There's a full details on that in today's Wigan Evening Post.
Yes, please.
So that was the first time we played them. The last time we played them was the season where we went up from the Championship and we beat them twice that season, home and away. So, the most poignant one was the 1999 Otto Windshields win, which Ray Mathias obviously talked about there. So our record is 20 games, we've got 5 wins, 6 draws and 9 defeats, so it's a little bit in Millwall's favour at this moment, but the last 9 times we've played them, we haven't done too badly against them. So, what do you make of Millwall then? Greg?
Like us, they're inconsistent. Okay. They had a good mixed bag start to the season, then lost the 2 top goal scorers.
Who were they? Henderson and...
Wood.
Wood, yeah.
He went to Leicester Wood. And Henderson... Oh my God, we got them two mixed up.
He went to
Leicester. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, they couldn't buy a win. They got murdered 5-1 at home by Peterborough. They were playoff contenders, got shot down the league. Then they beat Blackburn in the FA Cup and they couldn't lose until yesterday when they lost to Sheffield. So they're coming into on a decent run of form. They're a bit of a stuffy side, like, you know, they'll be in our faces, but
you know, Kenny Jackett's the manager, isn't he? So, you know, he always plays his player like that, but...
Well, in the last eight games, they've only conceded two goals.
They're going to be tough to break. If they're set out and they're going to be tough to break down, it's going to be... I'm not expecting us to win by 2 or 3, put it that way.
Not just in the league, in Cup as well, that. Oh, counting right. The Cup games.
Sorry.
It's alright, Gareth. It's alright, see. The fax man's are jumping on me here. So, Dan, any famous Millwall players in the squad that you know of, that you're aware of? So we've got Sean St. Ledger. Do you remember him from Preston?
No.
Yeah,
you don't?
I do.
You remember him from that Barry Fry documentary, though, don't you? On Sky One. Was Ron Atkinson took over at Peterborough. St. Ledger was the one who...
No.
He was. Do you not remember that? It's a classic documentary.
No.
Do you remember that? Big Man Manager.
Hey, no, I didn't watch it.
We've got before in Sky One on our ages.
I'm glad I brought that up for the opening point then.
Yeah. I remember the series actually, but I don't remember that. So.
It's on the St. Ledger, I know. Is that race at Duncan?
No, I remember Sean.
Come on,
Sean St. Ledger. Is it the Belcher? Is it Romulan, isn't it? Sean St. Ledger. Yeah. Also, I'm getting pissed in 53 degrees in Preston on Alcopops.
Yeah.
It's my story of him. He was crap.
Small centre half. Built like a little winger or something.
Yeah, well, at his feet, everyone thought he was going to play in Premier League and the top dog.
He thought he was as well.
Not England, he's Irish.
Republic of Ireland. Yeah, but he's not. He's
English.
He's English. Yeah.
So, I mean, bit like Mark Lawrence. Everyone's going to thought he was going to be top dog.
I think he's Mark Lawrence's love child, if I'm not mistaken.
On earth. I'm not finishing that sentence.
Oh, it's like mix, isn't it? Penetration of the box, but there you go.
Yeah, but there was always fanning about with it.
Right, the right, anyway, come on, back onto Millwall. So, what have they got? What have they got that we're afraid of?
Rodney's brother.
Who?
Knives.
Rodney's brother.
Fans.
Trotter. Fans.
Can I just say, one of the best away trips I ever had was going to Millwall.
It's decent.
And I think the fans were belted.
Me too.
Doing all the pubs around Lewisham and everything with them. If you walk into a pub with an away shirt on, there's only two things going to happen. They're either going to welcome you with open arms or else they carry out in a box. And I experienced some great hospitality from Millwall fans. I really did.
They've got a bad press because the bad lot are horrible. But like you say, you know, the decent lot, I'm sure.
But isn't that true of every club, though, really? It's a savage diamond to society today, though, that.
With us, I think they're particularly savage. I think that's why they've got the reputation. It's not like you said, though, but everyone just assumes it's the majority, and it's really not, is it?
Well, I think that all goes back to that documentary, what was made of them back in the 70s, where it was all about F Troop and things like that. When football hooliganism was it at its highest.
It is. It's similar to us, though, they are. I know
was that the one with Frodo in it?
Oh, what? Leighton Baines, what was he doing in the film?
Green Street, that's
Green Street.
Oh, yeah. Means, yeah, that one. Yeah.
No, was that a documentary? No.
No, that's a...
They're making a serious point. they are a family club anyway, though, and people don't give them credit for that, because there was early this season, I don't know if you remember, they've got a famous kids hospital near them that they're trying to shut down, and all the nurses and that went on strike, apparently. And they cancelled the game, they moved the game. I think they went to strike on a Saturday and they moved the game to the Friday or something like that, just to support and send the players down. So
that's all right, isn't it?
It's decent. Just,
is he still with Chairman, you know? Theo Lockwood with us?
No. He might be on the board, but I don't think he's the chairman.
Selling pens now, isn't he?
Selling pens. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in stationery box, yeah.
There was a documentary about him actually revisiting the club. Not long since that, it was only within the last month, and he was looking at the changes they'd made to the club since he left. But it was interesting watching flashbacks to the times when he was in charge of the club and the changes he actually made. Like, for instance, I didn't realise it, know this, but there was one of the first things to have a big screen put up at the stadium. You know, a big scoreboard screen.
We're one of bleeding last, aren't we?
Aye, we are. Right, so who else have we got? Paul Robinson, we remember him from Bolton, don't we? Played at West Brom.
Yeah.
We nearly signed him, but he had no kneecap apparently, so he filled his medal with us back in 2006, I think it was, 7. Sean St. Ledger, Danny Shittu.
Yeah.
Danny Shittu.
Horrible get.
He's been around the block a few times, isn't he?
Yeah, not so bad.
Richard Chaplow's another one that we know from around these parts, isn't he? Preston,
yeah, Burnley. Yeah.
Southampton as well.
Yeah.
He's been a player when he was
West Brom. Did West Brom sign him?
Yeah,
from
yeah it was West Brom.
It was highly rated, yeah. Wasn't it, Burnley? Yeah. It was England under 21.
Was it West Brom where he got a nasty injury and that's what... I think he was out for like 8-9 months and he's just not recovered.
Another guy who keeps popping up on our radar, Rob Ults. We've been linked with him a couple of times and he's played against us quite a few times. I've popped a goal in here and there, but I think he's older than Gareth, I think. So, don't need to worry about him.
Gareth's 44, by the way.
He's passed it a bit now, isn't he? Easter. Main Easter.
We've got Rubbles as well, ex-cream on.
Oh, yeah? Is he any relation to the Rubbles we've just been talking
about? I thought I said Rubbles.
Yeah. Wakey.
Rubbles.
Rubbles. I'm not telling you what. It's been on Wembley Bay, haven't they? Yeah.
They've got Rubbles as well.
Tyson, not Mike. Not Mike, that one, Rob.
Is he the runner?
Not Nathan Tyson. Scored that trick for Walsall many years ago. And Andy Keogh, we talked about, he's a good player, him. Yeah. You remember him, Mick? He used to play for Wolves.
Yeah, I do.
Roberto's first season with us, scored a cracking goal, beat us 1-0 after we'd beaten Villa. Do you remember that?
He was man at match by Country Mile that night.
Country Mile, yeah, had a cracking game. Cracking game.
No, still don't remember it.
Well, yeah.
One bird lad up from Irish International.
No.
Referee for Saturday is Michael Oliver, Premier League's youngest ever referee.
Good lad.
I think he's alright, actually. I know he sent off, he was conned into giving a penalty against us at United earlier in the season when Danny Welbeck took a dive, but he's not a bad ref. Have we mentioned this, Millwall in the league, Gareth? 16th here at the moment.
16th in the Championship.
Yeah.
And the Championship games, you mentioned the recent form, which included the cup run.
I did, yeah.
In the Championship game, they've lost 5 of the last 7. So, the 16th in the Championship, they've lost 5 of the last 7. You've just done a who's who of. Yeah. You should beat them.
Yeah. Well,
should beat
them. Early season, they're actually pushing for the playoffs, weren't they? They tumbled down that table somewhat in recent games, recent weeks.
Yeah.
They're only actually 5 points outside the relegation drop. That's where Blackburn's sitting. Blackburn's actually sitting in the third relegation spot at the moment with 47 points.
Mm. Sorry, where are they?
Who's that?
Blackburn.
Blackburn are in the relegation spots in the Championship. So they're not. I mean, last night, or the other night, Sheffield Wednesday went down to the Den and beat them 2-1. And went above them in the table. And Sheffield Wednesday manager Dave Jones has been quoted as saying, "We're still not out of the relegation fight." So I'd say Millwall are certainly in it. They're going to have one eye on that. Similar sort of team form-wise, position-wise to Huddersfield, who we've already played this season.
That went well.
And Michael Oliver refereed that.
Anybody know Millwall's road to the semi-finals?
We have it here.
Yes, I do.
We both have it here.
All right.
Do you want to alternate?
It's the outer ring, Rob, isn't it?
In the first round, we pressed at 1-0.
M25?
Was that the fourth round?
The third round.
Third round. In the fourth round, they played nobody, according to this.
Oh.
In the fourth round, they beat Aston Villa 2-1 at home.
Then they won away at Luton 3-0.
That was a good win, actually, that, because Luton was really pumped up for that game, weren't they?
Yeah.
There was a bit of history between them two clubs.
Just a little.
And then in the sixth round, they beat Blackburn 1-0 in the replay, the first match being 0-0.
Apparently, them two games were electric. Or was it you wanted to be electrocuted after watching it? I can't remember. But
that one, I didn't see the one at the Den, but the one at Ewell Park was one of the worst games of football I've seen this season. Only probably beaten by Wigan v Norwich.
Yeah, they were two pretty bad matches, I thought.
Right, can we say we've done with Millwall now?
No.
No,
we're going to tackle them on Saturday.
Well, I don't mean that, because I want us to talk about, you know, we're here, we're going to Wembley with the Latics. Surely we need to talk about
some people might actually be listening to this at Wembley right now.
Yeah.
They've downloaded it to their iPad.
Check
it out here and have a beer.
Enjoy your day out at Wembley.
We're not going to have any press lads here without exploiting them. So, have we got any team news, Paul?
Team news is everybody's fit. Roberto said there's no bumps and bruises for the first time this year. Everyone's got their hand up to play.
Crusa?
Apart from Crusa, obviously. All the long-termers, yeah. But, you know, your regular bumps and bruises, and there's normally one or two doubts. Everyone miraculously wants to play this weekend for some reason, so it's it's going to be a very tough selection for him, apparently.
Things could be possibly as you were, would you, reading between the lines, do you think?
I would be very surprised if he changed it. I mean, even though they were slightly below par, you know, I think they probably earned the right with what they did at Everton in the previous round, what they did against Norwich and Newcastle. You know, he stands to lose a lot. I mean, if he changes it, if he brings Di Santo back, Caldwell back, Alhabsi back, and something goes wrong, it's why did he change? You know, we had a winning formula, so I just think it makes sense to keep it as it is.
Mm-hmm. You go along with that, Paul?
Yeah, like Paul said, I think they earned the right at Everton. And the fact that the first team, the first 11, has remained unchanged in the intervening league games, there's no cause to change that at all.
Now, mate, you've been to Wembley a few times, and all this. You've been watching the Latics there, I know that for a fact. Also know you've been watching somebody else there as well. You've been watching the other chord that plays out of Wigan there. And you know, you've no embarrassment in standing up and saying that. But can I ask you this? As a well-oiled Wembleyite, are you excited about Saturday?
I am.
Are you excited?
Fit for busting.
I can see.
Put it this way.
You like a sausage. In a way you're on the grill. Ah.
Yeah. Oh, fit for busting.
Yeah.
What we can say about it. Fit for busting.
What's that mean? Well, it's all planned. Oh, we planned it. We've even been on there and got the tube prices and everything.
It's so you're tubing it?
Yeah, what we're doing is we're going to go down, stay at Stanmore, park up at Stanmore, get on the tube.
We're going up. Are you checking the moped, or are you going something else?
We're down in the minibus.
Minibus?
Minibus are full of us. Well, we're going to be hunting around, wrecking the place so that we can actually get down there for the final as well. So we're going to find a nice little spoons down there with a car park where we can get fed before the game and after the game. And then try it all out, hopefully, in preparation for going back down there in the final.
Fantastic.
I remember... Going back to those previous Wembley visits, I remember my very first visit there was back in 1970, and it was the wonderful old Wembley, and I actually ran on the pitch because Wigan scored a try under the sticks and it got disallowed, and me and my brother got carted out.
That was a surprise.
No, not carted out, just put back behind the fence.
Oh,
so, and I've always wanted Latics to get there in the FA Cup. We've seen them in the FA Vars, we've seen them down there in the Otto Winshield, the Freight Rover and everything else like that, and the playoffs. But there's something,
and the Mercantile Credit.
But there's something about the FA Cup though. Mm-hmm. There's something about the FA Cup.
Because it is.
That's
sorry.
What Wembley's about.
It is the number one domestic competition in the world. Cup competition.
It's a fact. Also
it is.
Did you know as well, like, if we can beat Millwall, they'll be the first side to play the FA Trophy, Football League Cup and FA Cup Finals?
Yes, because I read it in your paper the other week.
The Greg Times. The Greg Times. Rob, are you excited?
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, megally excited.
What are you going to do if you score?
Oh, well, for those who don't know, if there's
an ESPN,
yeah, going nuts. I'll be going, but oh, that was just... Mal, you know, I'll probably still be jumping up and down this time next week.
What about you in the ground, are you?
I'm in block 512 on row 6. So we've got, they meant to be decent seats.
That's up in the upper tier, isn't it? Above the boxes.
It's above Club Wembley, it's sort of at the front of the back tier of your.
Yeah.
So yeah,
can't
wait.
I'm row
6
in block 515.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
I'm not,
yeah.
Well,
I'll be
able to. Gareth, are you finally excited about the Cup? I mean...
Sideshow.
Sideshow. Yeah. That is the open top bus through Beech Hill.
That's right. I did say several months ago that Roberto was not interested in the Cup in any shape. I know how wrong I was. But I'm going to Wembley on Saturday and I'm really looking forward to it.
I know you're going to Wembley because you're down on our buses, aren't you?
I am.
I have a nice surprise for people travelling on our buses too. Courtesy of Asda, we're getting some free pies.
Oh, well, hey!
Chris. And liquid refreshments as well. So thank you, Asda,
well
for
done,
that. Well done. Yeah, so you'll be chomping on. The only problem is, we're not doing vegetarian ones. You have to be a meat eater. And if you are a vegetarian, you want to swap my cheese and onion crisps for your steak pie, there's no problem with that.
It's very crisp.
Yeah. So you're finally excited and you're buzzing and you've got that Wembley vibe now, have you?
Well, yeah, and as I said before, I mean, let's face it, when the semi-final draw took place, we were all frightened about who we might pick up, and getting Millwall, surely that gives us an opportunity, doesn't it? You know?
It's the best chance we will ever have.
I think, to add to that, the fact that in the other semi-final you've basically got teams that are going to qualify for the Champions League means that the detraction...
That's me touching wood, by the way.
Yeah, well, the detraction of playing the semi-final at Wembley when, you know, for those of us old enough, it should be played at a neutral ground. The fact that there's a prize of Europe going to be on the table, that makes it worth going down to Wembley for.
So it's like a final within itself.
It is.
Yeah.
I agree.
It is. It certainly adds to it.
Yeah.
There is a prize. There's going to be football at the end of that day.
Almost as if it's a mini final or a semi final.
As a traditionalist, I'll stick with the guns inside. I do think it should be a neutral venue. But I agree with you like that. I think it's a good set for something where we get a big prize.
If that wasn't there, I would have been neutral venue. But having said that, when you beat Everton, when you think, we've got our day out at Wembley. For a minute there, you're thinking, yeah, this is good. But really, it should be at a neutral venue. It's a traditional tournament. It should be played traditionally.
Traditional, Dan, traditional. So, big day out at Wembley on Saturday. It's going to be an exciting day, isn't it? Without a doubt, it's going to be an exciting day. Have you got the butterflies yet about the game?
Oh, I had the butterflies many, many weeks ago, yeah. And they've just grown ever since, and it's coming now, so...
Right, so you really, those butterflies are buzzing then?
Yes.
Right, good stuff. Greg, what do you think? Are you...
Got a job.
Are you up for it? You're not cycling down to this one, are you?
No.
It's the next one.
Yeah, it'll be alright, yeah.
You sound like you're buzzing.
That'd be great. No, it's gonna be good. Can't wait.
I think it'll be a bit of a nervy game. Like I said before, I don't think it'll be a 2 or 3-0, but last minute Paul Rodgers strike.
Well, we're not doing the we're not doing that.
No, I'm just saying what happened in the game will go. But no, yeah. It's gonna be a great day, you know, to have so many Wiganers going down there. No, I think we've got 20,000+. Fantastic for a town like Wigan.
Oh, yeah, I mean, all this bullshit about our tickets and the internet stuff. Last night at Millwall, in a massive, massive game for them, they had the grand total of 9,084 people on. So when they start singing, "Where's your fans?" Well, where are they?
Yeah, we're on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Well, the thing with that...
I didn't mean to kick this off, by the way. I was complimenting
them. Well, I'm not...
Thing is, I thought it's a side issue, isn't it? We've got so many fans there, it's in the backyard, everyone's going to have a good day out.
If we put handful of fans on our regular attendance, like another 3,000 tickets, that shows you that most of the people going are people that support the club. Whereas if they get crowds of 7, 8, 9, whatever it is, and then suddenly they get 30, well, where's all the glory on
Saturday? Yeah, I've seen a lot of that today, but I don't really take any piss out of them because they managed to sell out their allocation. They've asked for an extra badge. Fair play to them, you know. Like you said, hopefully they'll go down to the den and support them more often. But
that's what needs to happen.
I hope they sell as many as they can. My office has got
space.
So.
Well, that's the thing. They're all getting out because it's the semi final. We've got loads of Wiganers waiting for the next round, haven't we? Mm.
Not long ago, we were playing in the Northern Premier League.
Exactly. Mm.
We're in the Premier League. We're in the FA Cup semi final, and the possibility of being in Europe next year. Stream stuff.
Still a morning.
Yeah. Still, Barry wants to say the relegation zone.
We could be by Tuesday if they get hammered 10-0.
We could be. Yeah, you're right. Could we?
Sunderland,
yeah. 10-0 and we draw. We don't play.
We could be back out the relegation zone.
Are they hoping on goal difference?
Paul, who are you looking forward to it?
Very much.
Are you going the day before?
No, we're going down in the Wigan Observer fun bus. early start driven by G. Farriman Esquire. He doesn't know it yet.
Well, bloody driving.
Yeah,
Look at that. Have you got a... Can you pass your test?
Five years passed, no crashes, almost clean.
Yeah, that was
almost clean. I got done by a Scottish cop drinking a cup of coffee. I'm not counting those 3 points. They don't exist.
Don't put the cops do.
Bloody dog. It's not real 3 points, is it?
See, we're doing 70 mile an hour up a couple one way street.
It's Cleveland for a very good reason.
He only got more points than QPA,
I did hear that City were going to try and use Carlos Tevez's points to try and catch United up.
So you're driving down?
Yeah. I'm driving down. James is driving. You get out with all the driving, actually. I think I'm driving down and James is driving back up.
I'm the one doing the work.
We're doing plenty of work. We found out what we're doing today. We'll have this argument later, but I'm looking more than him, it seems.
All domestic on me.
Lovely, that.
You could rat him, couldn't you? Could all be written out. Ready? 2-0. Yeah. Corney and Maloney. Yeah, sorted, isn't it?
Not quite going,
though,
is it?
No. We know what's happening.
Yeah,
now.
I think we're going to have another Yordi Gomez hat-trick, just like against Reading.
He scores when he wants, Yordi Gomez.
I think it was a perfect hat-trick, though, wasn't it? A left, a right, and then you had.
Yeah.
Just what does he bring to the team?
Oh, God. For those who don't know, he was at a social event this week, and somebody asked Roberto Martinez, exactly what does Yordi Gomez bring to the team?
It was the very first question.
And that weren't even the top three worst questions, I didn't think.
No, no. Some of our fans, eh? Some of our fans. They crack you up, don't they? They crack you up. Right, are we having a prediction then? Start off with Dan and work...
That way.
Clockwise, is it that?
No. I either think it's going to go to extra time and penalties, or we'll batter them 4-0. And I want to go for 4-0.
So Dan's going for 4-0 to the Latics. Gareth.
4-0, Latics.
4-0. Rob.
I'll have a bit of 2-0. Clean sheet.
2-0. Mick.
I've got a 2-goal margin in my mind, mate. And I'm going to plumb for 3-1.
Oh, 3-1. Paul, now you've been... on the side of caution lately, yeah. Haven't you?
And I am again. I 2-1.
Two.
Us.
Oh. In 90 minutes, that?
Yeah. No, extra time.
Oh, after extra time? Right. I'm talking about A-E-T here. I had to think then. How you spell time? Couldn't. Paul?
3-1.
3-1.
Normal time.
Normal time. And Greg?
I think 3-0 normal time or 1-0 after extra time.
So 3-0, you don't play extra time if you go 3-0.
No, I said either 3-0 normal time or 1-0 after extra time, but I'm going to go 1-0 extra time, I think. I think it'll be tight.
We can't do that.
1-0 after extra time.
And I'm just going to go for 2-0 with Corney and Maloney as our scorers. I've already said that. I've dreamt it. I know it's true. And in the final, we're going to play Chelsea and beat them 2-1.
Can I pick a goal scorer for mine for the fourth goal?
Go on.
Emerson Boyce.
This will be the thing, too. Boyce could be captain, couldn't he, leading the team out?
He will be. Once the goal comes back.
Yeah.
Big day Saturday. We're all excited, I can see. We're like a lot of kippers out of the water, all giddy, flopping about.
See what, the way we're behaving, none of us are going to be observing that minute silence, are we?
Yeah, I certainly won't, if there was one.
So we're all buzzing, we're all ready for Saturday. We're going to be really excited. We're going to win, and we'll be talking about the final this time next week.
Hopefully,
so it's looking forward to that.
Come on.
It's a very good night from me.
It's a good night from us.
It's a good night from him.
Come on, Latics.
Come on.
Come on, you Latics, whoa. 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 Let's raise a glass and drink to the ones who won the Latics Blue. To the ones who won promotion in 1982. Latics fans will gather, we'll talk about that day. They started a tradition. Started a tradition that set us on our way. Come on, you Latics, whoa. 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 Football is the one and only international game. Everywhere the football's played, people know our name. They've heard heard of us in Egypt, Honduras and Peru. They've even heard of Latix. Even heard of Latix south of Warrington too. Come on, you Latix, whoa. Come on, you Latix.